Welcome to the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Line. Join us as we talk all things world building.
Get tips and advice for creating rich and immersive worlds for your stories, whether you're an aspiring author or wanting to level up your world building for future books.
We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years. So get comfy.
And grab a cuppa. Let's get world building. In the last episode, you caught us in the midst of post-convention exhaustion with our Edgelit after party. I hope you enjoyed that episode and that we were coherent enough that you got something useful from it.
Today, we're talking about making maps of your world.
It's a classic expectation, isn't it? A beautiful map in the front of a fantasy book. The obvious ones that spring to mind instantly are Middle-earth and Narnia.
Absolutely. But you might not have a map in the front of your book, or you might not be planning to include one. It's not a necessity, at least not for the reader.
Yeah, absolutely true. But it is a bit of an essential for the writer, depending, of course, on how big your world actually is. Although saying that, my book, The Notary of Gotlis Street, takes place almost entirely within just a single street. But I still needed a map to remember where everyone lived and where the important buildings were.
Even in a small world, it can be easy to get lost and lose your bearings. And if you do get muddled, like moving a coastal village in the east to the mountains in the north halfway through your book, your readers will notice, even if you miss it yourself.
They really will. So do you make your own maps, Holly?
I certainly have done in the past. In fact, in the very first edition of my first book, my hand-drawn map was in the front, but I took it out and just used the map for my own reference. I have a map of the whole city and then a more detailed map of just the northern area that my main characters claim as their territory. What I've always really wanted to do is hire a cartographer to make a fully detailed street map of the city with every street and all the key locations noted.
I love creating my own maps, although I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, either an artist or an expert cartographer. Mine tend to be a mix between hand drawings and computer graphics, like all merged together. They are not beautiful by any stretch of the imagination, but even so, I've received loads of compliments on them, so either I'm doing something right or people are just being incredibly polite.
So what's the first thing a writer should consider when mapping their world?
So I think the absolute first thing needs to be how much of your world you want to map. It can be anything from entire galaxies down to a single room. I mean, there are movies that take place in a single phone box or a buried coffin. So you don't always need to map an epic world. Sometimes all you need is a very small corner of it.
Agreed. Having an idea of the scope of your story comes into play here. That doesn't mean plotting it out beat by beat before map making, but it does mean having an idea from your premise whether your story is going to be confined to a single street, like in your Notary of Gotlis Street, or if it's going to be a huge space opera that takes place across multiple star systems. If it's going to be more like the latter, then you might need several maps, one showing the different stars and planets in relation to each other, and others for individual planets, space stations, settlements, and so on.
And when you begin mapping out your towns and cities and roads and rivers, when you start bringing in civilization, what do you need to think about?
I think the first thing to consider is the story's needs. If you already have some locations in mind, what are they? Where are they? If you're world building ahead of having a story, like we did in our world building quest, then you need to think about what makes sense for your setting.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's not to say that you can't simply create a map and then find the story in it, simply using it like a writing prompt, which I've done before. Now, it can be quite tempting to just pepper your world with settlements, like randomly tossing counters across your world. But you really need to consider why a settlement appears in one particular place instead of another. So generally, the first thing that will draw people to settle in a particular place is a source of fresh water. Think about how many cities are straddled across rivers. Unless, of course, you're writing about an alien or other non-human race that have no need for water. So other considerations include a varied food source, natural resources for things like building homes and for trading, appropriate land for crops and animals, access to the settlement, and how easy it is to defend. If it's on a trade route, also predators and natural dangers. Because people, by and large, will choose the easiest option. Unless the benefits outweigh the dangers or struggles. For example, you might consider it foolish to establish a town right in the middle of a dragon breeding ground. But what if just one dragon scale, which could be naturally shed from the animal, would sell for a price that could feed your family for 3 months? Then it may well be worth it.
Yeah. And what about the natural world, the lay of the land itself?
Again, a big temptation can be to just throw everything in there, ranging your world from the rocky coast to the Rocky Mountains and tossing everything you can in between them. Forests, hills, lakes, deserts, swampland, anything you can possibly think of. Again, it depends on the scope of your map. If you're creating an entire world, you most probably will have a bit of everything. But if you're only mapping a single country, it's not so likely. You can choose to create a country that's mostly desert or mostly plains or mostly mountains. It can be wet and boggy or dry and rocky or covered in ice. You don't need to throw everything at it.
Absolutely. The smaller the scope of your story, the more narrow the natural world will likely be. If your world is on the more vast side, then you still need to make sure things make sense. A planet closer to its sun will be hot, one further away will be cooler. You get the idea.
Travel is a big consideration too. How people travel and where they travel to, how long it takes them. So I listened to an interview with Patrick Rothfuss once, several years ago, and he said something that has always stuck with me. It was shortly after I had completed my first ever NaNoWriMo, which was back in November 2009, and I'd made a lovely map of an entire world. There were several islands and lots of different countries. I dutifully made them all very different from one another, given them their own culture, their own landscape. No chance of one simply flowing into the next without much distinction. And then my characters, a troupe of female performers driving a steam-powered truck, travelled around the entire map. Every country, every island, every city. So anyway, I listened to this interview and he said that one of the things that a lot of novice writers do is that they create a full world map and then they have their characters travel to every single place in it. And then him and the interviewer laughed. I was mystified for a moment. What was wrong with that? And then I laughed too. I haven't even been everywhere in the UK. I haven't even been to every major city here. And the UK is 40 times smaller than the US. It's actually only the 78th largest territory in our world. The chance of a bunch of women traveling everywhere in their world in a steam-powered truck within the span of just a few months is pretty slim. Now, of course, I very much subscribe to the idea that rules are made to be broken. And if you want to have people visit everywhere in your map, I'm not going to argue that you shouldn't. But you need to make sure it's possible and how long it would take them. Also, how much it would cost them. Not everyone would be able to afford to travel, and if you're marching entire armies around your map, Someone needs to feed and water them and buy them new boots, not to mention paying their wages. So just be aware of what's possible and what's plausible. If your story requires your characters to visit two distant places in the space of just 2 days, just make sure they're actually able to.
That's such a good point. If the story demands that you move people from point A to point B in a certain time frame, then maybe they use magic or technology to help them. Just make sure you're consistent with the rules.
So let's talk about actually creating your map, the actual drawing. I know that this is a thing lots of writers freak out about and don't feel confident about. Holly, you've already said that you removed your hand-drawn map from your books, so tell us about that decision.
Okay, so the main reason was that I changed a place name, and honestly, I couldn't quite face redrawing the map without it. It also really wasn't the map I'd always envisioned. I took it out with the intention of replacing it later with a more detailed map, but I haven't got around to that yet. It's way beyond my skill level to create it myself. Despite making a half-decent map for that series, when it came to writing a book in a new setting, I totally freaked out about making a map. I put pencil to paper, but couldn't do it. I had no idea where to start.
So my Paper Duchess series of books and my Memory Trader books both have maps in them, but my other books don't. My Paper Duchess map, which covers a single city, is entirely hand-drawn, but it's actually quite confusing because I've named every single street, whether it's part of the story or not, and it just clutters up the map unnecessarily. That would be one I'd quite like to pay someone to redo for me. My Memory Trader map covers 4 countries, although one of the countries is never mentioned, so on the map it's completely blank. It doesn't even have a name because, frankly, it doesn't need one. I drew the outline by hand. Honestly, it's just like wobbly lines. I scanned that into the computer and added all the place names and graphics like mountains, hills, sea, etc. It's nothing spectacular, but yeah, I get loads of compliments on it, so there you go. Because your map doesn't need to be perfect or beautiful. Its main purpose is to be helpful and useful, to stop you getting lost at first, and then, in turn, to stop your readers from getting lost. And if you do want a beautiful map, there are people on sites such as Fiverr who can do this for you. You could also find artists on sites like DeviantArt or on social media. And if you look in Google, you'll also find loads of map making programs.
We would love to see your maps. So find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and show us what your maps look like. So that's it for map making. How about cool things?
So I have recently started reading a new book. I've actually almost finished it. And I only started it like 4 days ago. I seriously cannot put this down. So it's The Outsider by Stephen King. We've talked about Stephen King a lot on this podcast, so it's not a huge surprise that I'm enjoying a Stephen King book. But it's one of those impossible murders, you know, like a guy was in two places at once. How can that happen? Of course, it's Stephen King, so you can imagine it has scary supernatural elements. And I seriously cannot put this book down. I am like binge reading it. It is amazing.
Brilliant. I have another book. It's The Magic Cottage by James Herbert, which I've been mentioning like on social media and stuff recently because it's really got inside my head. It's very creepy. It's one of those real slow builders. They just don't write books like that anymore, you know? The first half of the book, really nothing happens except this couple move house. That, you know, that's it. But the foundations get laid and everything that, you know, is built on that is just spectacular. It's so eerie, so unexpected. And yeah, like, I read some of it the other night after watching Ghost Watch with you, and
yeah.
all night I was unsettled and kept like thinking I could hear noises and see shadowy figures standing in the corner and stuff. It's yeah, really good, really powerful. Oh,
that's cool. It's so awesome when a book does that to you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's move on to our would you rather question. So Holly, would you rather live in a cave or live in a treehouse?
Treehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's always been a sort of dream, I guess. And I've done that thing of like, you know, going on Pinterest and finding these amazing luxurious tree houses and saving them all in a folder.
Yeah, and oh, I can't remember the name of it, but there's that that TV program where they make amazing tree houses. Yeah, I've always dreamt of tree houses, but there is always the worry of falling out of them. And I'm pretty clumsy, and I also quite like the idea of, you know, like, not like a cave a bear would live in or anything, but you know, like houses carved directly into the rock, and like they're meant to be really, really good for like keeping the right temperature, you know, like,
yeah,
really cool in the summer and really nice and warm in the winter. So if it was that kind of cave, rather, you know, not just some craggy out rocky thing that has a bear living in it, you know, but really nice carved into the stone kind of place, then I think I would be swayed by the cave if it was like that. And our editor has just written the name of the TV show is Treehouse Masters. Yeah, which is cool. Definitely makes you dream of luxurious tree houses, definitely.
Yeah, but I think you may have persuaded me. If it was more like a hobbit hole than a cave, then yeah, I can see the appeal in that.
Definitely.
Okay, so thanks very much for listening. Join us in 2 weeks for a delicious discussion all about food.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more world building tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And the show notes and whatnot are at our website, greatwesternwoods.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our band of adventurers and access our monthly online world building chat sessions.